morning and welcome to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. We're glad to see you all here to join us for worship this morning. I know that there have been announcements scrolling through on the screen, but I would like to highlight a few of the announcements. Tomorrow evening will be every member council meeting at 7:30 down in the fellowship hall. Please plan to attend. Also, the Children's Sunday School and Pastor Matt are teaming up to bless 37 families in our local area with an angel tree. Please feel free to take one of the names off of the tree and purchase gifts and then return them here to the church by December 1st. Is that when the date is? Okay. Then another announcement just to highlight is that we welcome two new births within our congregation. The Rosebuds celebrate the birth of Stanley Frederick Cock, who was born on November 5th, to Jacob and Ashley Cock, and the grandparents are Scott and Denise Bone. And then also Penelope Dawn Miller was born on October 30th to Jeff and Michelle Miller, and the grandparents are Alan and Becky Redman, and great-grandma is Arlene Redman. The other thing I would like to highlight that's coming up this weekend on Friday evening, the 15th from 7 to 9, do you want to paint a snowman? We're going to have an evening of painting followed by the movie Frozen. So we would encourage families to come out. We are asking for a donation of $15 per person for the snowman, but please come out and join us on Friday evening for that. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to highlight? If not, I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we prepare for our opening worship, I'd just like to share with you. Please stand. I'd like to share with you from our first service, the call to worship. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the past we relive in our minds. You know the present we strive to live day by day. You know the future which we confess concerns us. Renew us, Lord. Give us strength. Let us be redeemed. May we shine that others may see you, and may the darkness be lifted on our world that your light and your love would be known. Please join us in singing Create in Me a Clean Heart.
There's this incredible joy walking with the Lord, walking in the right way with the Lord. At times we make mistakes, but we confess those mistakes and we realize that the Lord restores us. And in that restoration, we find this incredible peace, this incredible joy to continue on that journey. So wherever you find yourself this morning, know that you can always approach God and he will extend his grace and his forgiveness and bring renewal to your lives. Are there any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
Yes, I got big ones. Again, thank you guys for all the prayers and the help. And 4 years later, we got answers. So first thing first is today is 37 days without a seizure. So that's huge. So keep the prayers coming because that's working. The other thing is after 4 years and hundreds of tests and the surgeries, and they finally found where they're coming from and can fix it. They are pretty confident they can fix it. They're giving us a 60% chance of never having a seizure again, and right now we're at 2%. So that is massive prayers answered. So even though we still have a big surgery coming, it is a healing, potentially healing surgery, and then he'll never have to have, this is not the hemispherotomy. This is not where they take the whole left side of his brain. This is, they found two focus points in his left occipital and temporal lobes. And they will be able to, and the other thing was they'll be able to spare his language, and they will be able to spare his motor strip, and the likeliness that he has any physical deficits are slim. The likeliness that he has any language deficits and memory deficits are slim, and they said we should bank on some vision deficits, but they believe he already has those from the strokes. So right now we could walk away from this with just no seizures and nothing else. So this is a massive answer to prayers, so today is a really good day. So thank you guys. And it will probably happen sometime beginning of January, unless they have to do it sooner. But right now, the surgery is probably beginning of January. So thank you guys.
Amen.
I want to thank everyone for their I want to thank everyone for their prayers for my sister-in-law. She went home to be with the Lord on Thursday night, so I don't have all the information about the funeral. I believe it'll be at the Heidelberg Church of the Brethren, though.
Prayers for Ruth Rollins. She's the mother-in-law of my bestest, dearest friend, sister. She had a small stroke, but they've been noticing a lot of memory issues, confusion issues, so they're hitting that stage of life, what do we do with mom? And it's a struggle.
Good morning. I have a nephew, David, that's in the lot for minister this evening. I'd like you to pray for David Weaver and his family. He has three children. He lives in Ontario, Canada. And my niece that had pneumonia that was on the prayer list, she's getting better, but it's going to be a long haul. So keep her in your prayers, Amanda Kinsinger. Thank you. I appreciate all your help.
Would you join me in our responsive prayer found in your bulletin? Lord, heal us.
This we pray.
Lord, give us hope.
To face this day.
Lord, forgive us our sins.
And change our ways.
We come humbly before you this morning, Lord, and we have many prayer concerns upon our hearts. We want to lift up those that have lost loved ones and ask for your comfort and for your peace. We pray for those that have gone through a stroke or any other type of illness, Lord, and pray, Lord, that you would restore them, that you would allow them to be made whole as you have designed them to be. But Lord, give them all the comfort they need in this time and give them the understanding of the world in which we live in, where we'll indeed face suffering. But Lord, we know in the midst of that suffering, we can persevere with your help and with your hope. We pray, Lord, and ask you that you would continue to just bless this church family, Lord. You know each of us. You know what we're going through in this very moment. You know the day that we faced already. You know the month that we've gone through. And we just want to rejoice with the Bryant family this morning and the incredibly wonderful news concerning Daniel, Lord. We just know that you are an amazing God. And we thank you for always giving us exactly what we need and exactly the right timing. And so we praise you, Lord, this morning and just thank you for your movement in our lives. We do want to take pause this morning. We know, Lord, we've sinned. We've fallen short. And we just want to ask for forgiveness. We want to confess those sins to you, Lord. And we want to find freedom. We want to know what it feels to be guilt-free. And so, Lord, in this time of silent prayer, we confess our sins as long as those prayers that are upon our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We know, Lord, therein is where we find forgiveness. We know therein is where we know death has been conquered. And we know, Lord, that this life isn't all there is to live. We're just passing through. But, Lord, we are given this life that we might reflect who you are to others. And, Lord, we do well with that at times. And at other times, we don't do so well. So, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to just let our light shine. You would continue to just let us love one another, to forgive one another, to watch over each other and to meet each other's needs. And we just thank you for the provisions you give each of us in our lives that we might help others. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to spread the Christmas joy and knowing that a son has been born, the Lamb of God among us. And we just thank you that we have his life to read about in the Gospels and know the life in which we should live. And so thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place and giving us this opportunity to worship together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Your Spirit can make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts.
Saturday morning in King of Prussia, and It was about teaching and methodologies and things like that. And one of the concerns the speaker brought up was the bias that the students have for the patients in the dental hygiene clinic. And as she was speaking, it really touched my heart. Am I biased? When I look at people, do I have a decision already made in my mind of what that person is or does or something that's not appropriate? So as I read these descriptions of people, I want you to come up with an image in your mind. Rich, poor, young, old, drug addicts, homeless people. Now, what was that image? Was it already formed in your mind and you already had a thought or an opinion about that person? Were you biased? Or was the person viewed through the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as one of his dearly lost children? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask forgiveness for our bias when we look at people and we judge rich or poor, homeless, drug addicts, those of us around us in the pews. May we look at each other with unbias. As we give our offerings today to help those less fortunate, let it give with love. Let us look to others as you did and give to the least of these as you have done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Will the children come up front and please join me?
I've got this load I have to carry. It's heavy. I carry it around a lot. I don't know how to get rid of it. I'm hoping the children can help me figure this out today. I can figure out how to get rid of all these logs I'm carrying. Put them in a fire. That's a good spot. But I'm carrying these logs for a special reason. Has anyone here have something really special at home? Yeah, got a little doll. Would you share that with me? Wow, that was very nice. Can I keep it? No. So, I think that you might be a little bit selfish. But guess what? I've got this necklace here, and I'm not going to share it with you either. So, are we both being selfish? Because I've got a log here I carry around called selfishness. Yeah, it's a big log. I carry it around. But I think maybe you might be a little bit selfish, right? Yeah. So has anybody ever wanted to be a better soccer player? Yeah. You? Do you want to be like LJ?
Better
than LJ. Oh.
Better than Elijah.
Better than Elijah. So they want to be better than each other. So sometimes do you think, man, I wish I could do that. Like he did a special trick or scored a goal. And what does, I don't know what position he plays. Does he score too? Oh. So do you think maybe, I think maybe you boys are jealous of each other and your skills. But that's okay, because I've got my own log of jealousy right here. And I'm jealous of Miss Pam and Miss Denise, your mom. Because they both sing really well. And I wish I could sing as well as they do. So I'm a little bit jealous there too. Now, anybody see any old people out there today? Besides me, because I'm old. And so do you think I could be a good soccer player? No. Do you think I can run fast? Maybe, oh thanks, there's a little bit of hope for me with practice, yeah. But if you think I'm old and slow, do you think maybe you decided that because of my age? No, you didn't? Oh boy, they love me this morning. Sometimes we make a decision about somebody just based on what we see. And that prejudge, that's very close, prejudice. We're prejudiced because we judge somebody without even knowing them. I have one of those logs too. I got logs, oh, I have such logs I gotta carry here. So, and then what about, oh, I know, what about, I did this one this morning. Did anybody have a little sister or a little brother that pulled your hair? Yeah. Have you forgiven them for that? Sometimes. So I think you need to work on your unforgiveness. Yeah, but I got one of those too, because sometimes people do things and it's really hard for me to forgive. But when I point out your unforgiveness, I realize that I have unforgiveness too. So I shouldn't judge you. And I was being selfish with my necklace, so I shouldn't judge you. And I was being jealous of your mom, so I shouldn't judge you. And maybe I thought you all were going to be really rowdy up here. You never are. But sometimes people judge children because they run and jump and they have a lot of energy. So we don't want to be prejudiced either. So we shouldn't judge. Who's the only person who should judge?
God.
God, yeah. So we don't want to judge people because we have our own faults, right? So we should not judge others, all right? So let us pray this morning. Dear Jesus, please keep us from judging others. Let us see that we too can be selfish and jealous and prejudiced and unforgiving. So help us remove those logs out of our lives so that we can help our brothers and sisters be better people too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up front.
Matthew 7:21-23 reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'"
Would you pray with me? God, thank you for knowing us and still loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us each a story that I believe was designed to share with others. And Lord, you have given us each unique stories. And Lord, those stories intersect with others' stories, and there's times where we remain silent. But today, Lord, I ask that we would open our mouths and we would be willing to enter into the stories of others, others' stories who line up with our stories, that we might gain wisdom from one another, that we might lead one another closer to you or to you for the first time. So, Lord, thank you for always meeting us where we are. Thank you for always knowing our stories and continuing to walk alongside us despite who we are. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. I remember the day it began. It was a very dark time in my teens. It was the 29th this month in 1993. My best friend, my mentor, the one that I could count on for anything, suddenly died. My world was crashing in around me. I lost my pap, and I'd never met anyone like him. Gentle, compassionate, loving. He'd bring roses and a card to my grandma every Valentine's, every anniversary, every birthday. He'd still write her love notes. But it started like any other day. He worked on the farm, but he also worked on the railroad. And he was cutting limbs that day. And he sat down in what he called his doghouse, where there was a sign on the outside that said, "Let me tell you about my grandchildren." Grandma was at the table cracking walnuts, thinking nothing of it as he said his final words, sitting on his stool. Those limbs were hard to cut, and he breathed his last. That was it. He fell to the floor, a precious life gone in an instant. For me, it's like it was yesterday. Nothing made sense for a very, very long time. And there was this war, this never-ending conflict of reality. It can't be. He's going to be there the next time I visit. He's not really gone. But everyone else seemed okay. They've accepted it. But it was in my head. It's not real. I'm only imagining this. They didn't know how it felt to look at yourself, your life, and just hate it. Hate everything. And I wasn't fighting with anyone, but I was filled with denial. And most of all, anger. Not toward you or him or her or anyone, but towards myself. I hated life in those months. There, I said it and I meant it. I did not like the person I was. Life was not being fair. I'd find myself staring off in space at school and nowhere near in touch with the world around me. They started asking questions. Too many questions. Are you okay? Do you want to talk? Is there anything I can do? I was numb. I had no emotions. It's like I was lost and I needed to be found. But where was I even at? I was existing. I was taking up space. And I accepted it. It must be who I am. I'll never get over this. I'll admit I couldn't do anything right in those times. I was constantly making mistakes. I couldn't seem to fit in. And I was slowly but surely distancing myself from those around me. And others would continue trying to talk to me, trying to get inside of the life that I was living. But all I could hear was, wah, 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 wah. It's like I was in the dark. It's like there was this huge shadow following me everywhere I went. I'd fight with myself somewhere in my head, but there was always that one voice. That one voice that would continually say to me, "Let it go, ignore it. You don't mean any of this. You're made for so much more." But I kept saying, "I do. I do mean it all. Every single devastating and destroying thought." It was true. I felt it. I believed it. I was it. Whatever it was. That was me. I lived in the past. I lived in regrets. I lived in this hole, this confining, darkening hole. And I couldn't find a way out. I stood there in front of a mirror and I didn't even know who I had become. I felt worthless. I was useless. I couldn't explain it and no one would understand. And I kept thinking, is this how life is going to be from now on? Eventually, I became the greatest actor there ever was, pretending like everything was okay, it's fine, and faked a smile. But if I could have had one thing in my world, anything in my world at that time, I'd choose to be anywhere and anyone but who I was. And that day came that I looked above, but I didn't look above for help. I looked above in anger. And I shook my fist at God and I said, "Why? Why, God?" And I would scream at him day in and day out. And all I wanted to do was just get out of the situation I was in and end it all. And there's only one way. That one way. I can't say I've never thought about it. I can't say I've never tried it. But I wanted another escape, another way out. But there didn't seem to be any. So I soaked in my sorrow, questioning, why do I keep doing this to myself? Why can't I just move on and forget what's happened and accept it? If only it was that easy. You see, once you think something, you cannot unthink it. I'm convinced I'll take these thoughts to the grave if that's what it takes to stop them. This is who I was for a long time, wandering aimlessly, looking for hope, wondering why.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
Sadness, come wherever you've been, come broken hearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, no sinner come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. Lay down your burden.
Table. Come taste the grace, there's rest for the weary.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
I had seen the light, and this is now. I realized what had become of me. It was like that voice in my head got louder than my own. I started to believe that I was created in God's image. I became born again. I knew I was not who I was. My eyes were open to the reality of God. He showed up and he gave me hope. And it started like this. There I was all alone thinking about death. It consumed me all the day long. I was yelling once again at God, "Why? Why did you have to take him? If you're who you say you are, then show me." I needed a sign. And I stood there out back my house with pain deep within, not able to get over what I was dealing with, never expecting anything to happen. For I had come to believe that God doesn't work that way anymore. But I realized, for me, he did. I'm looking towards the sky. I'm thinking perhaps a cloud would form some type of shape, or I'd see something. But that miracle was much closer for me. It was the tree. I was standing beneath the branch beyond, out of the corner of my eye, a beautiful white bird perched on a limb. Now I can't tell you if it was a white dove for sure, but it stared at me for the longest time, and I felt as though it was speaking to me, and I heard that verse in my head where the Holy Spirit descended like a dove from heaven and rested upon Jesus. He was the one. He was the Lamb of God. And after all that time, which was just a few months, I started to remember Sunday school. My pap would take me there, and my mother as well. And I knew all along Jesus was the answer. But I didn't know where to start. We had gone to church, but it never really sank in. I went through the motions. I could keep things in my head, but it never made it to my heart. I kept living that same woeful life, taking pity on myself. But I kept going to church with an expectancy. And then something happened. Slowly, my friends that had always gone to that church with me were moving to this new church over the hill. They kept telling me how many youth were there, how exciting it was, but I only knew that white church that I had always grown up in. But this one friend, he kept inviting me and inviting me and inviting me, and finally I'm like, fine, I'll go. And I said yes, but I never realized in that yes that my life would never be the same. That hope was found through a friend that cared enough to continue to reach out to me. He didn't judge me, yet he did judge based on knowing my place I was in. You see, he was one of the very few who actually knew, and he didn't give up. He kept after me. He would say things like, "This isn't how life has to be. You were made for more. You have someone who loves you more than anything." I didn't want to believe him, but I knew down deep that it was all true. That friend took me out of self-pity and pointed me toward the one who could solve it all. And he simply said, "Just come. Just be who you are. You don't need to change. You don't need to have it all together. Just come to this church and see what happens on its own." And so I did. And time passed, and I found myself in this new light, a light that continues to this day, that shines over me, that never fades. And that darkness that I faced is no longer. The pain is still real, but the reality now is that I have hope. And friends, we all have hope. A hope to face our past, a hope to face what's currently in front of us, but most of all, a hope for the future, that this isn't all there is. There's a heaven awaiting us. And friends, in one way or another, we need people, those in our lives that know us well, to judge us in a way that points us to our Savior. Not harsh judgment, but a gentle reminder of who we are in Christ, not who we were, for we know that that old self is dead and gone. That was then, this is now. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know absolutely everything we've been through. Lord, you know our hurts. You know the past that tries to haunt us at times. You know the present circumstances that take us away from who you've truly made us to be. And Lord, we want to take this moment and we want to say we are yours. We're not of our own, but we belong to you, bought at a price. But Lord, we confess there's times we try to control everything in front of us. We try to control our future. We try to control what's happened in the past. But perhaps today, for the very first time, we can say we're done. We're done trying to deal with it on our own. And we want to give it to you. And we know how difficult that can be. So Lord, we just want to surrender in this moment as we sing our final song. Work on our hearts, tug at our hearts, and enable us to simply let go and let you be God in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join us.
doesn't have to be this way. That old that continues to try to grab hold of you no longer has to have a grip. God says, today, I want to make you new. I want to renew you. I want to form you into my image. And maybe someone here today has been dealing with their past for a long time. Maybe they're dealing with a present situation that simply has a stronghold on them. Jesus is saying, I give you release. I set you free. I have made you who you are, and I give you what you need in this moment. So leave this place knowing that your heart can be changed, your heart can be transformed, and you can live in this new and glorious light that Jesus, our Savior, only He can give. Amen.
It's better than sneezing.